What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, aka Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Professional sports bettor, winner of the 2021 NFL Circuit Contest, fifth place, I should say, $114K cash prize. Feels like a winner to me. Career NBA record at 54.1% after this last season, over 120 units won. And the NBA is officially over, ladies and gentlemen. I am also the owner of FarleyBets.com. Check out free picks and free sports betting information over there all the time, every single day. Subscribe so that it goes directly to your inbox. And you are listening to a weekly sports betting podcast brought to you by me, Farley Betts. And we have great guests and great topics to always cover on this podcast, talking sports betting strategy, philosophy, all the things that make a successful handicapper in the long term, because that's what this game is about, long-term success. I hit 58% in the NBA 2 years ago, 56% in the NBA last year, and just barely over 50% this year. It was a tough NBA season for yours truly. Started off really rocky, especially in December. I think I put too much on my plate. I know that I bet on too many plays, learned a lot from this season, but that's why it's about the long term, right? Because over the long term, well over average, 54% and 120 units won. As we continue to grind, continue to work on our craft, can't wait until the NFL season up and coming here shortly. And it's great to be with all of you. We have a great guest on today's podcast, Mr. Kurt Blakeway. It's coming on to Laying the Points to talk MLB, talk about Cleveland sports, get a little of his insight as a sports betting, or I should say a sportsbook supervisor over there at BetJack. He's also a writer on Betting Pros and Pro Football Focus, and Kurt always brings great insight and great sports betting takes. He's going to give out some free plays, too, for the slate today in Major League Baseball, so stay tuned for all of that on this show. Before we get to Kurt, let me give you a little rant very quickly, as I like to do, about the NBA season in general and these NBA finals. The Denver Nuggets, a very deserving champion. Very deserving. Why? Because they really have it all, don't they? They got a coach that cares. You can see that on Mike Malone's face, the way that he's celebrating, the way that he was defending the Nuggets even since back in that series against the Lakers. Always talking about his players and how good they are. And they respect Mike Malone. They listen to Mike Malone. You got a humble roster of veterans, of younger guys who are savages, who have made it their life passion to get to this point. You saw it in the tears of someone like Jamal Murray when he was talking on the mic at the end of the game. Nikola Jokic could barely hold back tears as he was with his daughter up on stage. Yeah, I said daughter. I'm from Northern Jersey. We say some things like that, daughter. It's just a high-character team, a team with a lot of chemistry at this point. I mean, I think they might just be comparable to the kind of chemistry that we've seen in the past on LeBron James teams, like what he did with the Cavs, comparable to a team like the Golden State Warriors, and obviously comparable to the chemistry and great team that we saw that they faced in the NBA Finals in the Miami Heat, because the Miami Heat are a great team. And Jimmy Butler is a great player. And their story to get to that point was unbelievable. Right? They overcame all the best teams in the Eastern Conference. They got over it. They led in every series except for their series against Denver. Found ways to win. Beat you in all those intangible ways. Beat you with effort. Right? Taking charges. Going after the ball. Offensive rebounds. Blocks. Just gritty basketball. But in the end, a team that can compare to the Heat and those intangibles and has talent that's just soaring throughout their roster ends up being the victor. And I'm so happy for the town of Denver and for the Denver Nuggets organization because they deserve it. They've made the right moves. They got the right guys. And you can see just the unity of that team, how close they all are as human beings. Nikola Jokic said that at the very end. He was like, we have relationships here that are going to continue after basketball. And you just love to hear that. You love to see that. You love to observe and witness that kind of emotion and care and passion for the game. because it is a really positive thing, right? And it's something that we don't always see today in professional sports, especially in the NBA. We see guys kind of mailing it in, right? Happy that they made it to the NBA, that they have huge paychecks, sneaker deals. Not the Nuggets, not Jamal Murray, who fought back from an ACL tear, not Nikola Jokic, who comes from Serbia, a low-income community in Serbia, but fought his way, kept his dream going and going. Of course, the fact that he's over 7 foot tall doesn't hurt, but God, that guy has skills. He led all players in the NBA playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists. It's the only player in NBA history to ever do that. Nikola Jokic is the truth. Jamal Murray is the ultimate number two. They have a great coach, and they have a team that could stay together and could be a legitimate dynastic contender for years to come. We might see a new Golden State Warriors era here because now they have the experience, right? Now they know that they can do it. And could they have faced maybe better or I should say more talented teams in the NBA Finals? Maybe. You can certainly make a case for the Celtics. You can certainly make a case for the Milwaukee Bucks that they're more talented than the Heat. But that's not the way the cookie crumbled. The Heat did what they did, and they deserve to be there as well. And I think Denver would have won no matter what. I don't think any team was on the level of Denver. And it's easy to see that now looking back. I would have bet on the Heat last night. I didn't have a play on the ATS line, but I would have bet on the Heat because I imagine that they kept it close. But I would not have been surprised if Denver blew out the Heat last night either, because that's just how good they've been. Even in games that matter most or are the most nerve-wracking, right? For every hook, uppercut, jab that the Heat threw, Denver had an answer. And they had an answer throughout the entire series, throughout the entire NBA season and playoffs. And what unit in the NBA was more consistent than the Denver Nuggets offense? I don't think there's any. They were number one on offense for great lengths of the NBA season, and at home, they were absolutely untouchable. Kudos to those Denver Nuggets. And let me just bring something else up and capitalize on a point that I like to make here a lot on Laying the Points. Obviously, the talent on Denver is what made the difference, but that's not all that made the difference. This is a very high-character team. And what do I mean by that? Chris, you can't measure character. You can't measure chemistry and unity and teamwork. Oh, really? I can't? Let's not act like high character isn't quantifiable or that character isn't quantifiable. It's choosing to go to bed early the night before a game or when you're on the road and you want to party with your boys. It's putting extra time into watching film. It's being a good teammate on the court and off the court. It's your willingness to work on the symbiotic relationship with your coach so that you understand what your coach means, your coach understands what you mean, and that functions at a high level. It's humbling yourself. It's about what you do in the offseason. And it's why family men like Jokic, LeBron, Steph Curry, are usually more reliable than non-family men. Durant, Kyrie, Harden, even Embiid. This is a high-character team. They're there for the right reasons. They're there because they want to make history. They're there because they want to win championships. They're already talking about coming back and doing it again. Miami is too, like we said. And that's what made this series so compelling. But Denver was the perfect rival for the Heat, weren't they? They're just bigger. They were able to out-physical the Heat. They could not be bullied. The Heat bullied every other opponent in the Eastern Conference. Couldn't do that to Denver. And of course, just better shooters, right? Murray, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Jokic, Bruce Brown. Even had guys like Christian Braun bringing it. Aaron Gordon brought it the whole series, used his size to his advantage the whole series. I should have seen more unders coming in that series, especially in that last game. I liked the over in the fourth quarter. Boy, that didn't hit. But, you know, it became a very physical series, And Denver was able to hang with the Heat. They weren't intimidated. They weren't bullied. And a lot of teams have great shooters, right? A lot of teams have great coaches. A lot of teams have great star power. But it's the character and the unity and the chemistry we're seeing of this team that's going to keep them coming back deep into the NBA playoffs and maybe even as the consistent Western Conference representative in the NBA Finals. I believe that. I don't think any team in the Western Conference is close right now to the Denver Nuggets. Could be a dynasty for years to come. As far as the NBA season goes on a whole, I'll say this. And I started to say it at the start of my podcast, right? This was a tough one for me. I did put way too much of my play early in the season, betting on the NFL hard at the same time, right? Associated with three or four different sports betting companies, churning out content nonstop. And when you're churning out content, like when your primary job is to churn out content, not necessarily make the right bets, right? You can get in the wrong routine, into bad habits. I'm always transparent. I put out too many plays. I put my bankroll out there way too much, especially early in the NBA season, which is something I haven't done before. I usually wait until January, and then I really start betting the NBA. I usually practice judiciousness, and it's a great lesson for me. Somebody who can get a little cocky, right? I can get a little full of myself, like, hey, I'm the fucking man. I won circa fifth place. I shot onto this sports betting scene like no one else has ever seen. Immediately, 58% hit rate in the NBA. Immediately, 56% hit rate in the NBA. Immediately, 150 units won. Immediately, all these great records to show for it. But then what happens, right? You put too much in your plate. You take a little dip. 54% long-term, lifetime betting the NBA is really good. That's why we're over 120 units won. Over 3 years, that's hard to do. Over 1,500 picks, that's hard to do. So I'm, you know, we're still proud of it. I already can't wait for the NBA next season. Watch out for those Bucks next season who really let down. Watch out for the Nuggets again. We'll see what happens with Boston if they shake things up. We'll see what happens with Philly and James Harden. I think they're a better team if James Harden leaves, in my opinion. But we'll get to all that when we get to NBA previews later in the fall. And we're going to damn sure bet it more judiciously in those first 3 months. Because I think you have to in the NBA. These guys are tired, coming off a short offseason. Motivation for half these players isn't there anyway. There's always going to be some surprise teams. We'll see what Victor Wembanyama is going to do for the Spurs. A lot of interesting storylines. And I'm sure a lot of interesting free agency moves and different things are going to happen in the NBA before we get to October. And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to start preparing for the NFL season. And of course, I've already been preparing somewhat, but now we can go ham, right? It's all NFL. Bet on the WNBA a little bit, a little CFL, and let's get ready for the National Football League. A lot of great sports betting content coming from yours truly on that. Keep on checking out FarleyBets.com. That's FarleyBets.com. And just as a note, remember, laying the points of Farley Bets is only going to be once a week throughout the summer. When we get to the NFL season, I have a great podcast idea that is starting to form. Forming and storming and norming. And I think we're going to give you a fantastic, unique, something you've never seen or heard before, NFL podcast betting experience. Look forward to that come August. Let's get to Kurt Blakeway, a fantastic guest, talking MLB and Cleveland sports. And let's pay the piper first. If you're one of those guys or girls or theys who does not have legalized sports betting in your state, go to BetUS. BetUS is a fantastic sports book as growing and growing by the second, recognized by every major media outlet as one of the better sports books out there. Very advantageous lines all NFL season for me last year, and they will treat you well as well. And because you don't have access to DraftKings, FanDuel, and those domestic apps like most of us do, you have to use offshore books like Bovada, like BetOnline. but BetUS stands above the rest. And type in Farley125 in the promo code for extra cash on me. Yeah, boy, Farley Bets. Let's get to Kurt. Welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Bets, everybody. And I'm very excited for a new guest on Laying the Points, Kurt Blakeway. That's at Hey Blakeway. Actually, it's Hey underscore Blakeway on Twitter. He's a Cleveland guy, so we might talk a little bit of Cleveland Browns in this podcast too if we have time. Sportsbook supervisor at BetJack and a contributor over there at Betting Pros. You can actually see his articles or the link to his articles directly from his Twitter profile, as well as Pro Football Focus, which is pretty awesome. Kurt, you got your hands in more and more things in the sports betting world, and it's a pleasure to have you on for the first time, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for the time. Allow me to join you. Always a fan of your podcast and your work. I'm just trying to dabble as much as I can in this growing industry and super excited to see what 2023 and 2024 bring.
Yeah, man, bigger and bigger things I think are coming for you. I didn't even know that you had that association of Pro Football Focus before we talked. That's awesome, man. So
yeah, super exciting stuff.
Yeah, and just goes to show you, right? Like we networked a little while back, and there are still plenty of good skates in the sports betting community, man. So it's great to see you leveling up over there. I do have to ask you, because I think our audience would be really interested, what is a sportsbook supervisor? Like, what do you do over there at BetJack?
So basically, I have a team of ticket writers or cashiers underneath me that I manage and help, direct day-to-day operations. As a supervisor, duties include, following, state procedures, protocols, work with the OCCC and the Gaming Commission, making sure everything is compliance by their end, keep an eye on, the amount of bets, the money that's coming in on games, especially local games. Obviously, BetJack is a Cleveland market sports book. So the Browns, the Cavs, the Guardians are obviously going to be the most popular public play. So we got to keep an eye on the action on those and all games, essentially, especially the last couple of weeks with the NBA Finals. We have to, monitor that and make sure, we're not being overexposed to one side or another.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. And it must be really interesting to see the way things work on the other side, right? So, obviously we're all sports bettors here, right? But you're on the other side of the counter, kind of seeing things come through, how it all works. How long have you been doing that?
The sportsbook supervisor, I got hired into BetJack late last season.
Got it.
Or late last year to start going through training and understanding how everything works through the sportsbook and the sports betting industry from the other side. Obviously, we look at sportsbook odds all day as sports bettors, handicappers, but there's a lot to go on the other side. So we had to do a lot of training. Ohio went live January 1st. So we were probably in training October, November, and December of 2022. And then once when we live, we went with the role, So we just kind of took it to the chin. And once we got the hang of it, now it's June and we're all comfortable and ready to roll.
That's awesome, man. Good to see Ohio coming back with all of us and bringing sports betting in for all of you. I know that just happened for Maryland actually in November last year where I am. So I just see all these people talking about their, I'm not a same game parlay guy, but I see them showing their screenshots of FanDuel and DraftKings and all these books that they can get better lines at. And it's made me jealous for years. So nice that we're on that wagon now, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Maryland and Ohio, it's unfortunately, it was probably one of the latter states to make it legalized. Ohio was dragging its feet for a while. So I was there with you. I was getting kind of jealous. I had to go over the border to PA to put some futures in NFL season, things like that. So there's a lot of gas and oil changes involved over the last couple of years.
100%, man. And then, you got to deal with those offshore books, which, that's a headache too, right?
Very much.
So Kurt is here to mostly talk about baseball and just his, views on teams we can fade and play on moving forward, as well as some other topics. But before we get to that, Kurt, I got to ask you two questions. I want to ask you about your Cavs because that was a pretty disappointing end to their run for me. I thought they were just one of the top teams in the East for sure with how balanced they are. But we'll get to that in a second. our audience, I think, loves to hear, especially new guests on the show. How did you get into this whole thing? You know, just briefly, how did you find yourself in the sports betting world, into handicapping, and now on the other side of the sports book as well? How did it all start?
Yeah, it was, I was introduced back in high school, and math class, actually. A kid behind me, he was in a football pool where he had to pick the games by the spread. And he asked me my opinion, and I was so lost at first. I said, I didn't know what the -7 plus 106, I had no idea what that meant. So he kind of broke it down for me, taught me the basics, and kind of lured me into this industry. And ever since then, I've been kind of hooked, you know, trying to learn as much as I can from just the odds, the betting, the trends, the methodology behind it. And then as it became more popular over the last couple of years, it's been a passion and hobby of mine to where I wanted to learn and know as much as possible. And pretty much just creating relationships over social media, trying to get my hands in as much things as I could. You know, writing for Betting Pros, PFF, reaching out to you, listening to you on the Ross Tucker podcast. That was my first introduction to Farley Bets. So, and the rest was history, you know. So kind of, you know, it was hook lure, you know, that just hooked me in, you know. As soon as I learned about it, I was hooked. And it's just, there's so much to learn about this industry that you're learning something new every single day.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a lot like the way that I came into it, in the sense that, and then, you know, of course, we didn't have quite the same level of social media that we have now, but I don't think I would have approached like going onto Twitter like I'm seeing all these other touts do, you know, today, right? Like, you discovered what it was all about. You probably learned a lot of hard lessons, you know.
Absolutely.
Put a lot of research in, right? Probably listened to a lot of podcasts, read a lot of articles. And now years later, you're at a point where you're comfortable, you know, actually being in a, you know, a position of power as a supervisor in the sports book, but also somebody who's offering picks. It takes some time, right, to really understand the level of depth, I think, that goes into sports betting and how lines change and everything that goes into it. You know, because I just have to say that, because you see all these guys and girls jumping on Twitter, and as soon as they discover what sports betting is, right, they're trying to put out picks, they're trying to make funny videos. But, you know, you came up the hard way like me. I know that I made a lot of mistakes, Kurt, along the way.
Yeah. I burned my way through a few of my bankrolls in the past. And, and like you said, you see all these so-called pros on TikTok and Twitter, and anybody can post a pick. And I've tried to stay away from that as much as I could, unless I could give, you know, reasoning behind those picks. You know, I'm a big advocate of, you know, showing why you're choosing a side, or showing you why you're making a pick. And I've told you multiple times, I respect the heck out of you, just because whether it's on your site or on Twitter, you post your picks, but then you explain exactly why you're on that side. Anybody can just throw, you know, a team out there on Twitter, but to right, actually explain themselves and show their thought process, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well,
I certainly appreciate that, man. I mean, I know at the Odds Breakers, you know, getting my start there and seeing how folks did business, you know, over there, the great writers that they had at the time, and just across the spectrum, right? I mean, I banged the book, you know, right. I got to know guys like Kyle Hunter. I mean, if you know these guys, and then you kind of second, you know, you shortchange your process, then you're really shortchanging them, right? Like, in all the things that they taught you and the things that you've learned over the years, you know, guys like Adam Burke too, obviously Kiev at the Odds Breakers.
Right.
So, you know, we all kind of stand on the shoulders of giants, and we're continuing those traditions and that hard work. And I think there is probably like a 1-2% sports betting community like that on Twitter. The rest are just, you know, kind of all over the place, you know. But
yeah, you definitely got to filter your way through that. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And you are doing that, man, or else, you know, sites like Betting Pros or Pro Football Focus wouldn't even pay attention to you. So it's awesome to see. Let's talk about those Cavs, man. The Cavs, boy, they really stumbled once they reached the playoffs. What do you think that was all about? Because this was probably one of the most well-balanced teams heading into the NBA playoffs. I know they had some ups and downs, but their defense was very consistent all year. And certainly they have a lot of offensive talent. Do you think it was just their youth and maybe a lot of inexperienced guys?
Yeah, I think the youth and the inexperience played a huge role in that collapse in the playoffs. Like you said, they were one of the best all overall play teams in the league, offensively, defensively. You know, Evan Mobley is a star in the making. You know, Darius Garland's great. Adding Donovan Mitchell was huge. But even Jared Allen said after the series against the Knicks, you know, he even said the brights were a lot brighter than he expected. So yeah. With a lot of the, you know, with a lot of guys on the roster not having that playoff experience, you know, outside of Mitchell, plus the coaching, you know, Bickerstaff doesn't have much experience coaching in big games like that in the playoffs. So that definitely played a role. You know, hopefully they learn from this and they can bounce back next year.
Absolutely, man. Well, yeah, I think the Cavs are a team for all of us to keep our eye on, especially, you know, maybe they shake up the Celtics a little bit. Easy for me to say, you know, we'll see what happens with Philly. The Bucks will probably always be there, but I really like the addition of Donovan Mitchell. I think he fit really well there. I think that, you know, Darius Garland grew a lot throughout the season, probably somewhat because of Mitchell too, and his, you know, his confidence, kind of watching him and see the way he does business. So that, you know, they're going to be around for a long time. The Eastern Conference is a little more stacked than usual, but I think that, you know, Cleveland's probably going to have a better prospect in the future, at least from where I'm sitting. As long as they gain that experience, they have all the talent to get it done.
Right.
So let's move into baseball, Kurt, because that is what you're here to talk about for the most part. And let me ask you this from the very jump, because I know everybody was really preparing for the rule changes this season. You know, there's a pitcher's count and all that stuff, right? And I was expecting personally more overs. We are seeing now, according to Covers, right? So Baseball Betting Trends. So their betting trends might be a little bit off. I don't know. Or might, you know, might not be the closing lines or the starting lines. I'm not sure how Covers does it. But Covers is telling me that MLB is still 52% ATS to the over this season. So what have you noticed with these rule changes and how they're affecting these games from a betting perspective?
Yeah, at first I thought these rules were going to benefit the pitching staffs and the starting pitchers, but obviously starting to watch the games a little bit, you know, I think the offense has a better advantage with this. I mean, you've seen a couple of pitchers that are normally really good struggling, and I don't know if it's just because they don't have as much time to get set and go through the routine, you know, with the pitch clock. But guys like Alex Manoah, he was an all-star last year. Yeah. I was telling a buddy of mine, you know, he was just mic'd up during an all-star game last year explaining his success and, you know, how well he's been doing. And now he's been sent to like a single A team to try to get some help and find his form. And even the guys like on our team, the Guardians, you know, James Karinchuk, he was one of the best relievers in baseball last year. And we just released him, or we sent him down, just because he couldn't find his form. And he's a guy that has a really long routine. He takes a while on the mound to get set. So the pitch clock probably has a lot to do with that. But I think the offense has had the advantage so far earlier on the season. You know, you're seeing a lot of these high scoring games. So between the pitch clock and just the offensive advantage, I think, you know, you're going to see a lot more high scoring games moving forward.
Yeah. So it sounds like the odds makers have adjusted accordingly though. Right. Cause you
absolutely.
Know,
I mean,
you know, so far anyway, we still have that 52% mark to the under. But yeah, that is interesting, right? Like Manoah is somebody who I had pinpointed this season to play on even more, you know, it has that right. Huge profile, right? It's just a big dude, a lot of power behind his throws. But I guess just if you can't get used to the pitch clock and if it interrupts your normal, you know, because baseball is so like habitual, right? These guys have all kinds of superstitions and routines. So I guess if you mess that up a little bit for some pitchers, affects some more than others. Then you got some guys, maybe like a Gerrit Cole, who, now I don't know what he's done recently. You know, full transparency, I'm always transparent. My baseball season and betting started off really well. And now I'm down 20 units, Kurt. So I've taken over 2 weeks off of betting. I don't even know if I'm going to return to it. We'll see. I'll, you know, try to cherry pick here and there. But that's why I got guys like you on the show to tell me a little bit more, you know, smarten me up a little bit. But yeah, man, it's so tough to predict in terms of who is it going to affect, right? So now that we have a better sample size, maybe we're seeing the teams and the pitchers that are affected more by the rule changes. And it certainly does seem like I said, that the odds makers have at least adjusted accordingly. So maybe there's not as much inherent value in those overs as we thought.
Yeah, that's 100% true. You know, the general public doesn't think like that, or, you know, doesn't have the time or want to do the research like that. So there's going to be values on taking the unders, because like you said, the odds makers are going to adjust for that. And I think, you know, a lot of baseball handicapping was looking at the starting pitching. You know, this year, in my personal opinion, you know, if you have two, you know, average starting pitchers, then obviously the next step in the handicapping is going to take a look at the offense. Because while pitching was, you know, a pivotal role of winning games and winning championships, I think the offense has a little bit more value when handicapping that moving forward, not necessarily just for the totals, but and handicapping single games on the sides, you know, whether you're going to take team A or team B.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get to some of these teams. Teams to fade and teams to play on. You can start on either side you want, but I'll lob these two opening questions for you, Kurt, because from what I'm seeing, looks to me like the Oakland Athletics probably aren't making the playoffs. Now, of course, you know, I was planning on dogging them on this show, and then they win last night against the Rays. I mean, that was crazy. But then you got teams, you know, I'm not necessarily a Baltimore Orioles fan, but I don't follow like one team in baseball. I don't cheer for one team. I didn't grow up that way. And I mean, if I were to grow up that way, I'd probably grow up as a New York Yankees fan, as, you know, New York Giants fan from Northern Jersey and all that shit. But I can't jump on the Yankees bandwagon. You know, that would be like, you know, really shady at this point, right? So it's nice to see Baltimore thriving right now, man. They're one of the top teams in baseball right now, record-wise. Are the Athletics as bad as we think? And is Baltimore a legitimate contender of the season?
Yes, for both questions, both teams. Yeah, Oakland. Yeah, it's funny because we were just bashing the A's, and then they, like you said, they beat the Rays last night for their sixth straight win. It's kind of remarkable what they're doing right now. Obviously, there's going to be some positive regression because they've just been so bad. You know, I mean, they're 18-50. They have a run differential of -193, and at one point it was over 200. So they're definitely going to have some positive regression. Again, they're not going to make a run at the wild card. They're not going to make a run in the division. They're about as bad as I've ever seen watching baseball. I don't think I've seen a team as bad as these Oakland A's.
And do you think it's just like a management issue? Like what? I mean, this was the what the hell is that movie?
That Moneyball.
Moneyball. This is the Moneyball team. Like what the hell happened, you know?
I'm not sure. I think it has a lot to do with management, ownership. Yeah. Obviously, it sounds like they're going to be moving to Las Vegas here in the next couple of years. Right. So it doesn't sound like they're, you know, they want to throw in too much money at this point until they get to their new home over in Las Vegas. So it could be just that, you know, they don't really have any superstars on that team. They don't have anybody to build around. They have a nice rookie center fielder, Ruiz, who's leading the league in stolen bases. So they have a couple of prospects that they could build around in the future, but there's just no one there that can give them consistent production. And I think management and ownership know that, and they're just kind of going through the motions until they find their new home.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and we see that happen with a lot of teams and, you know, upper management when they're about to go through a transition like that, right? It kind of, you know, just everyone's kind of fading the current season or, you know, the current version of themselves. Right. As far as Charm City goes over here, man, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, I used to be neighbors of this couple who lived in Baltimore for like 70 years. Now, we don't live in Baltimore anymore, but you talk about a town where they have people who have been there since like the Baltimore Colts. You know, you know, these are real fans, you know, and they're still hesitant to really embrace this Orioles team. Like, eventually things will probably turn around because, you know, the Orioles usually do start hot, you know, like, you know, April, May, and then it kind of starts to fizzle out. You know, we're into June now. We're halfway into June. One of the best records in baseball. They've really improved their pitching. They have confident bats. Is this a team that you expect to negatively regress at any point? I mean, they still got the Yankees in their division. I mean, is there, you know, what do you foresee for the Orioles, and their chances at going far into the playoffs this season?
I like it a lot. I mean, as for negative regression, I don't see it happening. If it does, it's not going to be anything catastrophic. I mean, because they were, excuse me, they got one. They were one of the hottest teams at the end of last year. To kind of contradict what you just said, but they started to turn it on. A lot of those young guns started showing what they had last year, and then came out of the gut, you know, gates blazing. Yeah. And they're 41-24 right now, only 5 games behind the Rays for the American League East. Yeah, they still have the Yankees and Jays to compete with. As much as I want to count the Yankees in, it just doesn't seem like they have the firepower that they've had in years past. That lineup is abysmal right now, especially with Aaron Judge out of the lineup on the IL again. It's just they have, when he's out, they have no one to help score runs. So I think it's going to be a three-team race between the Rays, Baltimore, and don't count out Toronto. That's one of the teams I have to kind of keep an eye on going into the second half of the season. They have a great bullpen. If they can, you know, settle down on the starting pitching, they're going to be a great team. And that lineup is as good as anybody in the American League.
I love it. So what are some other teams that you're fading heading into the next month or so?
Yeah, so before the teams I get to the fading, like I said, I like the Jays moving forward. Keep an eye on Houston. They started off extremely slow. Altuve was missing for the first month and a half. He's back. He's kind of the engine that gets that lineup going. And I'm not trying to be a homer, but watch out for the Guardians. They finally got their pitching staff back. Tristan McKenzie's been hurt all year. He just made his second start last week against Houston. They get Aaron Civale back as well in the starting rotation. So Tito, his teams tend to start off extremely slow. June, July is when they really turn it on. So watch out for those Guardians. Like we were talking before we jumped on here, they're only a game and a half behind the Twins in the Central Division. They're hanging around just like that, and they can turn it on in a matter of moments. So watch out for the Guardians. Teams to fade. It's probably not going to be a popular opinion right now, but the Texas Rangers, they are a hot team right now. They are just absolutely mashing the ball. They lead the league in run differential. They're at plus 146. They just took over the Rays for that lead. And there's no doubt that they're one of the best offenses in the league, but I think their pitching is due for some negative regression. Their starting pitching has been really well. With Andrew Heaney, with Martin Perez, they're doing really well. They just lost DeGrom for the season with his second Tommy John surgery, so that's a big blow for them. And their bullpen is very weak. So you need a strong bullpen heading into the postseason. A lot of these managers have quick hooks when it comes to postseason. They pull their starters, you know, they just don't have the bullpen to make a postseason run. So Texas is a unpopular team to fade at this moment.
Gotcha. Yes. So, and you're probably about to get some plus money on the Angels, who are facing the Rangers the next three games. And, you know, the Angels got a good pitching matchup, at least on Tuesday. We are recording this on Tuesday. You'll all be hearing this on Wednesday. So maybe some opportunity to start fading the Rangers, although, you know, or maybe even an opportunity for some overs there, right, if that bullpen can't hold up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Kurt, I know we both got to go, you know, very, very compacted schedules here, compact schedules for both of us. But let me ask you just before you go, and thank you so much for joining, man. Again, you can follow Kurt Blakeway at @Hey_Blakeway on Twitter. He has great articles over there at Betting Pros. You can get the link directly over to him through there. One more question for you, Kurt. Wednesday is when this podcast is going to go up. Do you have any free plays or any thoughts about the Wednesday slate?
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of looking at that this morning, and as much as I was dogging on the Yankees earlier, I might dabble onto the Yankees money line against the New York Mets. You have Gerrit Cole going for the Yankees against Justin Verlander of the Mets, and I just don't trust a 42-year-old Justin Verlander anymore. He's been struggling the last couple of times he's been out. He hasn't been the same since he was in Houston last season. The only thing that I'm hesitant right now is, as I mentioned, that Yankees lineup. It's tough to back a lineup where you guys have Jake Bowers or Billy McKinney starting in the lineup. So it's tough, but I'm leaning towards the Yankees on the money line. That total right now on DraftKings is 6.5. So obviously they have two starting pitchers that could be dominant, but that also reflects two offenses that are struggling at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like the Yankees money line, and I also Diamondbacks, which is another team to kind of keep your eye on going in the second half. They've really put together some nice quality wins over the last couple of weeks. I believe they're in first place in the NL West. They have a 4-game lead over the Dodgers in the NL West. I like them on the money line as well at -125 against the Phillies.
Love it, my man. Thank you so much for those free plays. Check out Kurt Blakeway on Twitter, everybody, at @Hey_Blakeway. Like I say, does great articles over there at Betting Pros and Pro Football Focus. Kurt, I want to talk Cleveland Browns next time you're on the podcast, man. Come back anytime. Thanks for joining.
Yes, sir, Chris. Appreciate it. Thank you for your time, as always.